Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
Have you stopped to think about the fact that Jesus, the creator of the world, He whose hands had made the stars, was willing to be confined in a woman's womb? That, to me, is absolutely staggering. To think of the Lord of the universe, a prisoner in a dark womb, helpless. He was willing to pass through the birth canal like any other baby. This was God, remember. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Why did He do it? Because He loves us. He was a child. I hope you know that beautiful Christmas hymn, "Once in Royal David's City." And there's a stanza in there that's a wonderful one to teach your children. "For He is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like us, He grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles, like us, He knew." Isn't it amazing that the Lord of the universe was willing to be little, weak, and helpless? He had to learn to walk. He had to be fed by a human mother. He undoubtedly fell down and skinned his knee and cried because he was a child like the rest of us. He lived in a poor home, a humble home. He was subject to all the various necessities of poverty. That was what he had chosen. And he spent those 30 hidden years in anonymity. Wouldn't you love to know much more about what he did in those 30 years? We know next to nothing. We know what he did when he was 12 years old. He upset his parents greatly by not returning with them to their home, and it took them 3 days to discover in this great retinue of people that he was not there. They just took it for granted that he was. And of course, they had to return to Jerusalem. And as Mary said to him, "We have sought you sorrowing. Where have you been? Why did you treat us like this?" And it was at that age, 12, that he began to take spiritual responsibility. And he said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" And that must have been a sword in Mary's heart. This son that she had birthed and raised and fed, that he would abandon them like that. Now he's talking about another father, different from this earthly stepfather or foster father. "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" How much do you think about your 12-year-old children? Are you laying before them this solemn responsibility? It is now time to be an adult. There are no teenagers in the Bible, are there? Jesus was a child, and then he was spiritually responsible, and he was about his Father's business. But remember, he was also still under the authority of Joseph and Mary. And the Bible tells us that he went back in obedience to them. But there were things going on in his heart between him and his father, which need to be going on in any 12-year-old's heart. It was when I was 12 that I came across a poem, "The Prayer" by Betty Scott Stamm, that you've heard me quote so many times on the radio. It was that I copied into my Bible as a prayer of consecration and submission. "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to thee to be thine forever. Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt. Send me where thou wilt. And work out thy whole will in my life, at any cost, now and forever. He was the Prince of Glory, and he allowed things to happen to him. I just came across that phrase recently in one of my books that I was reading, not one of my books, a book that I possess, which was deeply instructive to me. The Prince of Glory allowing things to happen to him. John 14, verse 30. Jesus is speaking here in these last few chapters, 14, 15, and 16, to his disciples, giving them his final instructions about his leaving them and what they are to do. And he tells them, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. The prince of this world, of course, is his arch enemy, Satan. Now get this, he has no hold on me. He has no rights over me, but the world must be shown that I love the Father and will do exactly what he says. I will do exactly what my Father has commanded me. There's a tremendous lesson there for you and me. Of course Satan is after us if we are determined to do the will of God. If a 12-year-old child writes in the back of her Bible, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes and accept thy will for my life, you know that the enemy of God is going to do everything in his power to frustrate that commitment. And Jesus here is giving his final words to his disciples with whom he has walked and talked for 3 years. And he's telling them once again, the prince of this world is coming. He has no rights over me, but the world must be shown that I love the Father and will do exactly what he says. And so Jesus Christ was put into the hands of evil men. The mystery of divine humiliation, divine helplessness. Think about it. He became a captive when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. They came after him with swords and clubs and torches, and they captured him. And he allowed them to do this. He could have called legions of angels, but he didn't. And they then took him into the council chamber, and from the council chamber to the praetorium, and from the praetorium to the cross. He was led, he was dragged, he was hustled. The omnipotence of love. He who was God by nature became a man, took upon himself the form of a servant, a slave, who was going to be told what to do and put into the hands of evil men. The hands that made the stars were now completely motionless on the cross. Just 3 weeks ago, my husband and I were in Debrecen, Hungary. And after I had spoken, we were invited to go to a museum where there are three world-famous paintings by the Hungarian painter Munkácsy. And it was only within the last year that those three paintings have been exhibited in any one place together. They've been owned by different people in different parts of the world. And they are three paintings of the last day of Christ, of Christ's life on earth, before he was crucified. And this museum in Debrecen has been constructed specifically to house these three paintings. There are many other things, but there's one room that you walk into, and the painting fills the whole wall. Then there's another painting on that wall and a third one over here. And the first one shows Jesus captured and being led through the jeering mob. And then the second one shows Jesus in front of Pilate. And Pilate is sitting there like this, trying to make up his mind what to do with this man. And you can see the faces of the people jeering, yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate is just at a loss, wishy-washy. What shall I do? And of course, the Bible tells us he was afraid of what the people might say if he didn't go ahead and crucify him. And then, of course, the third panel shows the figure of Jesus on the cross with those hands motionless. And again, the evil faces, the smug smirks on the faces of those who are just delighted. This is the omnipotence of love. Love is the most powerful force in the universe, but it's always sacrificial. Again, 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we in our turn must lay down our lives for each other.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.